Okay, fine. Thank you. So I'll start. Hello, everyone. Actually, I'm Himanshu Swami, Scientist E from the Command and Control Division, Naval Systems from Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics in Bangalore. So I am part of the team that has developed the Trigon system. So I believe most of the Navy officers are aware of the Trigon system. And we have deployed the system in 2012. And 2012 onwards, we are working on the system for the last one decade to further enhance the system and optimize the system. So today, so now we are going for the next version of the system. So project will start shortly. So we are planning to develop a maritime, a DSS system for maritime surveillance. So we have done some POC work on that. So today I'm going to talk about the work that we have done towards this development of the system. So next slide. So I'll talk about the basics first. So we are developing advanced information system. So what is an information system? So information system is a formal socio-technical organization system designed to collect, process, store and distribute information. So there are various type of information system based on the hierarchy of the management who is actually using that. So we will have at the basic level the transactional processing system that is used for the workers for basic reporting work. Then we have the management information system that is used for the managers for operational efficiency. So here the basic data that is getting generated by the transactional processing system will be further summarized for the management to take various kind of decisions. Then we will have a decision support system, and this is used by the senior people in the hierarchy for their decision taking related to various domains. Next slide. So our operational system is the maritime situation awareness system, and that is our Trigon system. So what it will do, the basic definition of the maritime situation awareness system is that it will the perception of the elements in the environment within a volume of time and space, the comprehension of their meaning and the projection of their status in the near future. So the idea is you have to perceive the environment and you have to perceive the element near you, around you, and you have to comprehend the meaning of various situations that are happening around you, and to project the future, the near future, how things are going to change around you. So basically the system will tell you ki where you are and what is happening around you. So right now the Trigon system is doing that for the user. Now next slide. So how it is doing that? So it is generating a common operation picture. So common operation picture is defined as a single identical display of relevant information shared by more than one command. So basically what is happening is the naval platforms and systems, they are generating data of the movement of tracks from various sources. So this data, we are able to fuse, clean the data, and we are able to provide a operational picture based on that data. So the COP facilitates collaborative planning, combined execution, and it assists all echelons to achieve situational awareness. So using the common operational picture of the Trigon system, user is able to achieve the situational awareness. So this is our operational system. So next. Next slide. Okay. So now we are talking about the maritime surveillance DSS system, the decision support system. So the data that is generated by the Trigon system, which is our operational system, is then collected by the decision support system, and it will provide the features that are useful for taking decisions that are relevant for the maritime situation, maritime surveillance. So here our DSS is defined as a system, is an information system that supports maritime surveillance related to decision making activities. So these decision making activities can be from various domains. The basic components of a DSS system is a database, or it is also called as a knowledge base, and the model. The model is the decision context or a user criteria based on which the decision will be taken, and a user interface to access the model and the data. So as you can see in the figure, database component and the model component, that will be available in a data center kind of infrastructure, and through a user interface component it will be accessed, and the inference component will provide you the result based on the database component and the model component. Next slide. So what actually a decision of a maritime surveillance DSS will do, and what kind of requirements it will fulfill? So DSS system will provide enhanced situational awareness, will provide features of enhanced situational awareness and strategic mission planning. So what it will provide is it will provide the features to extract insights from detecting suspicious maritime behavior and situations. So you are having a lot of data. Now from all this data, by analyzing all this data, what we are trying to detect is maritime behavior and situations that are suspected. Now once you detect some kind of suspected behavior, then from various heterogeneous data sources you will correlate the information, and that correlated information will be provided to the operator of the DSS system, which will help him to take any decision on that. So as you can see from the image on the right, suspected track is identified, then all the relevant information of that particular track available from different sources such as the video, images or any other contextual data will be then fetched from various sources, and it will be automatically correlated and presented to the operator to take any further decision. Also, the decision support system will provide features for strategic and tactical mission planning for the future. Next. Now, yeah. So this is a functional architecture of the decision support system. So at the lowest level, you will have the data and information sources layer. So there are various kind of data will be coming. So data will be generated by the operational systems of the Indian Navy, such as the Trigon system or any other system, and it will be coming from the other real-time sources like UAVs that are capturing images and videos in real time. Then satellite imagery, satellite orbital data, weather data, and data will also be available from the open sources, web sources. The next layer will be the networking and the integration layer. So here the components will be those components that will integrate this data, and it will provide cleaning. It will clean the data, integrate the data, summarize the data, and store the data. Now then we will have the data analysis and information fusion layer. So here all the features that we are going to provide are there. So as you can see, there are three levels of features that we are planning to provide. Level one will be the analytic feature. So these levels will be based on the role of the operator. So at the lowest level, you will have level one features. So these are relevant for operators in the front end, like in the ships and submarines. So they are not actually, they don't have time to take, to correlate data or take any kind of decision making. So they are basically working on real-time data, and features here are simple features. So based on these features, they will do their operational requirements. So level two features will be available to people in MOCs and op centers. So where they have more experience and more time to actually analyze various situations and use the features for these kind of analysis. So here we are having features of information fusion, then behavior analysis of various vessels, anomaly detection, classification. So those kind of high level features will be there. Then at the highest level, we have features for future planning and prediction. So these features will be relevant for people at the directorate level, where they are planning various missions and all. And at the highest level, we have the application layers where we will have applications like the situation awareness system application, the COP application, or the DSS console that we are going to develop. So this is the general architecture of the system. Next. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, so another important feature that DSS system will provide is anomaly detection. So anomalous behavior detection of tracks. So we are going to develop models to detect anomalous behavior. So what kind of anomalous behavior we are trying to detect? So first is the abnormal movement. So abnormal movement have two components. One is the whether a vessel is following the routes, the defined routes. Maritime routes, whether they are following or not, and abnormal kinematics. So even though it happens that a vessel is following the route, but its kinematic parameters, its speed or course is not matching the that particular route. So vessels generally move with a certain speed on a particular maritime route. So if a vessel is moving very slow or it is moving very fast in that particular route, that vessel also should be detected as a anomalous movement. Second is vessel loitering detection. So here we are developing a model to detect the vessel that those vessels that are actually loitering in an area and they are not actually moving anywhere. Then vessels switching off transponder. So these are the again vessel that is switching off, intentionally switching off their AIS. So what you see ki for some time that vessel track will be available, and after some time that vessel track is off. And again, after crossing a certain area, again it will switch on the transponder. So again, you will start getting the track. So that kind of behavior, if someone is intentionally doing that kind of behavior, then we are trying to detect that. Then vessel in drifting and various such behavior models are there that we are trying to develop a model. Next slide. Next slide. Yeah, then semantic trajectory analysis. So right now we are getting data from sources such as AIS and radar data. So all this data is actually movement data only, primarily. So now in the next system, we are trying to get data, contextual data from various other sources such as weather data and other databases like commercial databases, ship registry database, port register, company register, events database, or the web scraping and open repositories that are available online. So these contextual data, then we want to link with the trajectory data to enrich our trajectory data. So those enriched trajectories will be then semantic trajectories, and they will provide features of semantic analysis. So what it means is ki only trajectory means how a particular vessel moved from one point to other point. But when I'm talking about semantic trajectory, then we are talking about the meaning of that particular movement. Why this vessel moved in a particular way, or why it followed a particular path. So if we can add that particular information from available from various sources, then it will enrich our data, and it will provide new features which are based on contextual data. So we are expecting that we'll get, especially in case of vessels like spy vessels. Nowadays you see ki these Chinese spy vessels and all, they are moving. So if we'll get any intelligence inputs and all, then that also we'll try to attach with the trajectory data so that it will be used for contextual analysis later. So this contextual data will be added as annotations. So we will have point annotations, and then we will have segment annotations. So I'll show you in the next slide. So next slide, please. So now you can see a trajectory. The vessel, it has moved from Karachi all the way to Shanghai. So this we are trying to add contextual information, like point based contextual information is all the port calls that it has made on the way. And then there are segment trajectory segments that we are trying to identify. For example, if you can see in the left side, there is a gap of transmission. So using our model, if we are able to detect this is an intentional AIS off, so we can attach that particular contextual information for this particular trajectory, this vessel has switched off its AIS. Similarly, if we have any weather related contextual information, that also will be added to a particular segment. As you can see ki near this Thailand area, this vessel has moved, is deviated from a route and it moved to some Thailand port. So that contextual information also can be added. Then if we identify keys for some particular segment of our trajectory, it has moved with a speed that is lesser than the general speed in that area. So all this kind of information will be added to the trajectory of the tracks and features based on the this behavior, this contextual information will be provided. Next slide. Then use cases for predictive analysis. So predictive analysis, we are having use cases of classification where we are trying to classify vessels into various classes based on various parameters. So the classification right now we are working on is, we are getting a lot of around 20-30% vessels that we get in our system right now. They are unknown vessels. They don't tell their type. So we are trying to predict the vessel type. So we are trying to predict whether it is a fishing vessel or a non-fishing vessel, merchant vessel or non-merchant vessel. And in the future, we are going to develop models to detect whether it is a naval vessel or a merchant vessel. So again, that is going to be a little complicated algorithm, but we are working on that also. Then multi-vessel interaction classification. Now we have observed that their interaction of vessels is happening. So in the middle of the sea, if any interaction of vessel is happening, that can be for some illegal activity, such as if the interaction of vessel is happening between a merchant vessel and a tug vessel near the coast, so that is a normal interaction. But if there is an interaction between two merchant vessels in the middle of the sea, so that can be some kind of illegal activity like smuggling or something else. Similarly, if there is an interaction between a merchant vessel and a fishing vessel in the middle of the sea, then again that could be related to illegal fishing. So these kind of, first we have to detect that there is an interaction happening, and then we have to classify the interaction between whether it is a normal interaction or this is the abnormal interaction. So if there's any abnormal interaction detected, then it will be alerted. Then the prediction use cases. So prediction use case, right now we are working on predicting the next port of call of vessel and the route that it is going to follow. Yeah, next slide. Then visual analytics. So here all the use cases we are working with the imagery data and video data that are going to be there. So here the idea is the majority of data that we are right now handling is AIS data. And AIS data is a self-reporting data. So it can have intentional or unintentional errors. So for instance, due to poor reception, there will be errors in the AIS data. Or information can be intentionally corrupted, or in some cases the update is very slow or it is very fast. Those kind of issues are there with the AIS data. So how you will verify your AIS data? So for verification of AIS data, we are going to use the video data and the imagery data that will be available from various sources. So what use cases will be there, we are going to detect ship features from this data, and in the real time we are going to fuse this information with our AIS picture. So whenever we are able to fuse the information correctly with the AIS picture, then we will tell that this particular AIS track is verified, and if it is not getting matched, then we will flag that this particular AIS information is not verified. So right now we are working with the UAV data that is available, and we are trying to, in real time, we are trying to verify the tracks that is available in the UAV data with our AIS data. Yeah, next slide. So as you can see, the first step will be to detect the shift features. So here you can see we are able to detect some of the shift features. Now using this information, then we have to fuse this information, associate this information with the historical AIS picture or the current AIS picture. And if any shift that is not giving the correct AIS data will be highlighted. Next. So similar work we are doing with the SAR imagery also. So with some open source data, we are building the model to detect shift features from SAR imagery and then trying to associate it with the historical AIS picture. Next. So then video image server. So this is so once you fetch the shift features from a particular imagery or video data, we will geotag that information and we will tag the information with the extracted track information also, and it will be stored for future reference. So it is something like a YouTube system we are trying to develop with all the available imagery and the video data. If we are able to, we will store that data, and in the we will provide a feature of search. If we are able to tag some track information with a particular image or video, your user will be able to search that information based on that track information in the future. Nice. And we are going to develop a separate dashboard for this particular system. So just a representative image of a DSS dashboard I'm showing here for marine traffic. So it will have various kind of features that are relevant for decision support, such as graph, charts, and visualization of summaries. Those kind of features will be there. Next. Next slide. Yeah. Then text data analytics. So text data will be available from various sources. So some sources will be the Trio system will provide you an interface where you can add remarks, various kind of remarks to tracks or other information. Then there will be data available from web that we can get through the web scraping, and then various contextual information can come from sources like intelligence and all. So all this information will be stored and analyzed, and the contextual information will be extracted from this information using NLP and all, and it will be used for generating alerts and finding anomalous behavior of vessels. So like for example, nowadays you will find the various web sources where you will get the current information of a track. So if from web sources I am able to extract the current information of a track and what is available to me, if I am able to match that information, I can say based on the current information from the other sources and the information from the sensor, whether that information is correlating or not. So that kind of behavior we can find out. Then we can find out information about various kind of events like oil spills and all, and that also will be provided to the user. Then we are nowadays you are So you can see some of the examples of information that is available on web. So this kind of information will be used to scrap the data and summarize the data and provide the features for text analytics. Next. So now I will talk about some of the POC that we have done for the development of the future system for a DSS system development. Yeah, next slide. So the system is called traffic analysis system. So in this system, what we are doing is IMSA system, the Trigun system is generating around 15 lakh tracks, every track updates every day. So these track updates we are storing in this system in our big data cluster. So that information is, and then when we are providing features of data analytics on that particular data set. So right now, our dataset size is more than some 800, 900 crore records. So what kind of features we are providing? We are providing features of high performance spatial temporal analysis on large dataset. anomaly detection and classification, record and replay, and track association. Now we are using various big data analysis technologies for these features. So it is there is one list of all the features that we are providing. Some of these features I am going to discuss. So there are features of unsupervised learning, supervised learning, and deep learning for the image analysis part. Yeah, next slide. So big data analysis on large directory, large spatial temporal data set. So here we are providing the features of spatial temporal analysis. So here you can see we are able to visualize the movement of tracks in a selected area of interest or of a selected vessel with available track information. Also the spatial temporal summaries like the density maps and all. So all these features we are able to provide with very good response time. Interactively we are able to provide these features. So our response time is in seconds for these features. Next. Then neighborhood analysis. So here we are able to provide features such as you want to see the movement of particular type of track or particular flag or track belonging to particular flag from a point of interest or a particular track that has moved near to some track of interest. So in the left side you can see a red dot is there. So a Chinese movement of Chinese track within certain area of that particular track is shown. Whereas in the right side we are showing we are fetching the tracks that has come closer to a particular track of interest in blue. So all these red tracks, they have come too closer within 5 nautical miles of this particular blue track. So they are also shown. So these kind of spatial temporal analysis features are provided in the system. Next. Then port call analysis. So here we are able to fetch that movement of tracks between two particular ports of interest. So as you can see in the left side, I am able to show the movement of tracks between the Karachi and Mumbai port between some time range, and also the movement of tracks between Karachi and Shanghai port. So all these features we are able to provide with very good response time. Next. Now track association. So here the again as I told you earlier, here the requirement is we have to fetch information, track information from various sources such as imagery data or from int inputs or some other inputs, and that track information we have to associate with our AIS picture to validate our AIS picture. So as you can see from the image, some of the so the SAR updates. From the SAR image, we are able to extract the SAR, the shift features from the SAR image. They are shown by the find out matching AIS tracks that are closer to that SAR track. So when any associated tracks are identified, those associated tracks will be shown, and any unassociated tracks, like for example, there is a SAR update for which there is no associated AIS track. So this will be highlighted. This particular track is available in the imagery data, but it is not sending its AIS data. So these kind of anomalies will be detected and it will be alerted to the operator. Next. Then I think this already I believe we are covering all this already discovered, so I'll just skip these slides. You can go to next slide. These are the basic definitions and all. You can go to the next slide. Again, next slide. Yeah, so machine learning I will take some time, because right now we are working all our features are based on machine learning algorithms. So machine learning is the study of computer algorithms that can improve automatically through experience or by use of data. So what we are doing, the data that we are collecting, this huge amount of data, using that particular data we are trying to build models. and these models are built to detect various for prediction, anomaly detection, and classification tasks. So machine learning algorithms, they build models. Okay, can you go back? Machine learning algorithms build a model based on sample data known as training data in order to make predictions or decisions without being explicitly programmed to do that. So basically here the idea is you are going to develop a model that is based on available data. So you can develop a model only if you have a data available. So with available data, we have tried to develop some models, and based on those models, we are providing some features. So I will talk about some of the features. Next slide. So again, there's two types of machine learning algorithms. One is the supervised learning, another is unsupervised learning. So in case of supervised learning algorithm, you need labeled data, whereas in case of unsupervised learning algorithm, you don't have labeled data. So from available unlabeled data, you have to develop an algorithm to provide some kind of feature. Next. So this is one of the feature that we are working on, phishing anomaly detection. So here we have used the labeled data that is available online from Global Phishing Watch. So using that data, a supervised learning algorithm was developed, that is the logistic regression algorithm, to detect whether a particular vessel is phishing or not. So that algorithm is using the feature of average speed of the vessel, standard deviation of speed, and the course of standard deviation. So using these features and the available labeled data, a model is trained to detect whether a particular vessel is phishing or not. So as you can see in the left side, the vessel is detected as non-phishing, whereas on the right side, vessels are detected phishing vessels. So the intuition behind this model is whenever a vessel is phishing, it will move with a slower speed, and it will frequently change its speed on course. So based on that model, this classification was implemented. Next. So again, so we are using this particular model. What we have seen, ki most of the unknown vessels, they are actually phishing vessels only. So using this model, we are able to detect the vessel type of these unknown vessels also. Next. Then movement related anomaly detection. So here we are trying to find out two type of anomalies. One is whether a particular vessel is deviating from its route, or if it is following the route, then whether its kinematic parameters, the speed and course, is matching the kinematic parameters of that particular route. So the first step of this development is to extract normal movement pattern for a certain area of interest. So you can go to next slide. Next slide. Yeah. So we have extracted the movement of patterns of the important areas. Like you can see the area near the Malacca Strait. So here we have tried to extract the normal movement pattern. So these four movement patterns we have identified as normal movement patterns. So generally the merchant vessels that travel in this area, they will follow these particular normal patterns. So based on this extraction of this normal movement, then we are trying to detect the abnormal movement. So next slide, you can go. So on the real-time data, when we are applying the model, you can see in the left side, the blue vessels, they are identified as vessels that are moving as per the normal movement pattern of this area. And on the right side, you can see the vessels that have deviated from this area. So deviations including both, where they are not following the routes, and also some of the vessels, they are actually nearly following the route like this vessel, but its kinematics are not matching. Either it is moving too slow or it is moving too fast. So automatically the system is able to detect these kind of anomalies. So that is the main point. The system is, operator don't have to do this kind of analysis, because you see right now in the system, we are having more than 1 lakh tracks. So operator cannot manually do this. System has to automatically detect this kind of anomalous behavior, and it should be flagged to the user. all these features are based on a threshold. So if and that threshold is user control threshold. So based on the threshold, the false alarm rate can be adjusted as per the requirement of the user. Next slide. So then prediction of the next port of call. So again, as I told you, we have extracted the movement pattern near the Lakshadweep Sea area also. So now here a very complicated movement pattern is there because various sea routes meet in this particular area. So before predicting the port call, automatically predicting the port call, next port call of a vessel, we have to associate a track with a valid route. So we have identified various routes, and as you can see, we are able to associate tracks to routes. So for example, this particular route that right now I'm showing you, this particular route is moving toward the Suez Canal, while there are some other routes that are moving toward the Oman area, the Gulf of Oman. Then there are some routes that are moving near the coast of India. So once we are able to associate a track to a route, then only we can predict the next port of call of that track. So if a track is associated to a route, now historically we can see if a certain vessel that follows a certain route, where historically it is going for next port of call. Based on that kind of analysis, we can then predict the next port of call of that vessel. Next, then engagement detection. Then this particular feature is based on rule set. So right now we have decided this route. If two vessels, they are moving within 250 meters of each other, and they are moving slowly, less than 5 knots, and their course is converging. So these kind of scenarios we are automatically trying to detect from the data. Next. So as you can see, we are able to identify some of the interactions, engagements at the middle of the sea. So as you can see, two vessels, they have come close to each other, and they have moved with each other for some time, and then they have moved away. So these kind of scenarios we are able to detect using the model. Next, then ship risk profiling. So again, this is again a classification problem where we are trying to classify vessels as high speed, high risk, medium risk, and low risk from the maritime security perspective. And right now we have decided some of the parameters based on which we can do this kind of analysis, like the port call history of that particular vessel. So if it has visited in the recent time some enemy port, then its weightage will be increased for risk profiling. Then user defined rules. If a particular vessel, like some Chinese spy vessel, user want to give a higher weightage for risk profiling, those kind of rule set can be used. Then anomalies, we are automatically detecting various kind of anomalous behaviors of vessels. Those anomalies will be used for risk profiling. Then type of vessel, and flag and change of flag. If there is any change of the country of origin of that particular vessel is there, those kind of information will also be used. If some vessel is frequently changing its flag, then detention. So detention, already these databases are available online. So those detention databases also we are trying to use for profiling of vessels. So once, So then right now we are working with UAV data for detection of ship features in real time. And this information will be extracted, and in the real time on the COP, the common operational picture client, we will be showing this track. So one side you will have a streaming video of the UAV, and other side you will have that particular vessel on a map, so that you can correlate how this particular vessel is moving. Yeah, next. So now this is my last slide. So if any questions are there, I'll take those.
Put the speaker in the spotlight. Before I begin question answer session, I must thank the speaker for taking out time in his busy schedule from a lot of work he has been doing in DSS systems and to deliver a talk online for the audience here. Now for the Q&A, I would request the audience logged in over MS Teams to kindly type in their questions in the chat box. And you are also requested to introduce yourself prior asking the questions. If any of the online questions wish to interact with the speaker, please let me know by raising your hand on MS Teams so that my team will make your audio video available for the workshop. While we await questions from the online audience, I would request any questions if there is from the audience at the lighthouse.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is how you are able to do the geotagging of UAV feed real time and which UAV feed you are using. Second, what kind of object detection are you able to do successfully on UAV feed detection, sir? Then regarding the weather data, which you just mentioned, you are infusing with the given set of other data, which model for forecasting you're using? Is it National Center of Medium Research weather forecasting or the usual WRF modeling technique for the weather prediction? Then regarding the SAR data, which particular SAR data you are able to achieve the classification of military objects and which particular military object libraries you have if you are able to achieve for the classifications. Thank you.
Yeah, so right now we are getting this data from the HALE RPA, the US UAV that right now giving us data. So with the data, we are able to extract the ship features, its position and its type. So we have developed the deep learning model. We have taken this data, we have stored this data, and using that data, we have trained a deep learning model to detect the ship and its type. Now, using the there is metadata available with the video data that is right now coming. So the metadata is of the sensor, the position of the sensor, and the angle that the camera is viewing. So using all that information, we are able to get the center of the frame. And from that particular frame, right now we are doing some estimation, and with that estimation, we are trying to geotag the data. So that is for the UAV data. Secondly, SAR imagery, right now we are building model with open source data only. So right now there's a data challenge XUV3. So they have provided some data from Sentinel-1 satellite. So that data resolution is around 10 meters. So we are only talking about extracting the position of the ship. We are not talking about extracting any other ship feature. Only we are trying to find out the position of the ship from the SAR data with the available SAR data, because the resolution is very very good. So we can only detect the position right now. So that is for the SAR data. One more question I forgot. Can you tell me what was that?
Weather forecasting models which you
Weather forecasting. Okay. So weather forecasting right now, you see, we don't have the data right now, but we are going to get data from the Panorama system that Navy is using. And we are going to use the prediction model of that system only. So we are not going to develop any weather prediction model for ourselves. We are going to use the system that is developed, I think, by CDEC for Indian Navy. So that system only will be used for weather data. So right now it is a plan to get the data from the Navy, but right now this data is still not available with us.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions from the on-site audience? We have a question from Commander
Rajat Agarwal. Good afternoon, sir. So my question is rather a case study, sir. It is that 26/11 incident, sir. Sir, it was a vessel which was a Indian vessel which was perfectly following the trajectory, the designated route. So how do we detect and classify such vessels as a threat if such a scenario reoccurs? What is the second level that we look into so that before it enters our boundary, how can we classify that as a threat?
So right now, so what we are doing is we are trying to build model to detect anomalous behavior. Because you see, now what data is available to us, based on that data only we can do any kind of analysis or any kind of detection of anomalous behavior. So if a vessel is perfectly following everything and perfectly it is within the limits of the kinematic parameters, then again, yeah, we have to find out ways of detecting those kind of scenarios. But right now we are trying to find out the real problem that we are trying to solve is the number of vessels in our system are going to increase. So right now we are getting around 1.5 lakh tracks in our system. So this is going to increase because we are going to get data from coastal radar chain also and various other sources also. So when we are when we get this data, we will have around, let's say, 10 lakh of track updates. So we want to develop a model where system should automatically detect anomalous behavior from the available data. So operator cannot process this large amount of information. So we want that the system should automatically detect the anomalous behavior. And if any anomalous behavior is detected, then it should fetch information from various other sources, such as the imagery data or from the web sources, and correlate that information and try to validate that particular anomalous behavior or anomalous situation. So if we can get that kind of automation from the system, then out of these large number of tracks, some few tracks only will be highlighted to the user, where he has to now focus on these few tracks only, so that he can take better decisions. Because right now it is too much of information, and manually it is not possible to process all this information. So that is the main idea behind the future systems.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other question from the audience? Then we will take one last question from the online audience, sir. I have a question with me, which is sent to me. I'll read it out. It's from Commander Prateek Kalra. His question is, that majority of the research undertaken for detection of suspicious activities of merchant ships using maritime anomaly detection method is centered on learning of spatio-temporal trajectories and detection of anomalies based on deviation from the statistical models of the learned tracks. However, a significant number of malicious activities goes undetected as the ships, merchant ships, resort to non-compliance to AIS regulations and either switch off their AIS transponder or transmit spoofed messages while carrying out suspicious activity. This poses a problem akin to chicken and egg situation, wherein suspicious messages that should have been detected as anomalies are either not received or received erroneously. Further, there may be merchant ships who may not be involved in suspicious activities, but send these erroneous AIS messages due to human equipment failure or observe AIS silence owing to safety security issues. Detection of such suspicious activities become challenging also due to the unavailability of ground truth data. So basically his question is into three domains. First, he says that the data on which you are trying to learn itself may be completely wrong, and that it can be wrong because of two issues. One is that because it's wrong due to some human error, it's not intentionally made wrong. Other, it has been intentionally made wrong because suspicious activity is being done. Thirdly, he says that the data which is there is not going to be labeled because somebody has to label the data, and presently all the data which is available in research is either been labeled by some UK Navy or some navies, and it's very limited and not in open in public domain also to evaluate such kind of algorithm. So the problem is that also.
Yeah, so there are two points. One is the available data for training. So yeah, the most of the data that is available for training right now is AIS data. So what we are doing, we are building the model on this data only, but we are doing cleaning of data. That is very important. It's not that some 50% of vessels are giving the wrong update. Yeah, so maybe some 10% of vessels may be giving us the wrong data. So what we are doing is we are doing cleaning of this data set, and that clean data set will be used for building the model. Secondly, we are talking about features of image analysis also, especially this SAR data. This we are expecting that as the number of UAVs are going to increase, we are going to get SAR data from UAVs also. Then satellite SAR data also we are going to get. So this is going to be a very useful data because that will provide us the ground truth actually. Right? So we are in the future system, we are not going to be only based on the AIS data. We will verify the AIS data from other sources also, such as the imagery data, SAR data, and various other sources, such as the data available on web. So those data also will be used. So the idea is to correlate information from various sources to verify the AIS information.
I think the correlation with the other data sources will certainly help the model. And one more question from my side is that is there any transfer learning kind of approach wherein seeing that suppose we have the AI data of say Bay of Bengal, because these kind of spatiotemporal network which you are learning graph theoretic based approaches and you are learning from clustering and the routes which are there, so they are bound to a particular area of data. So suppose we have data of say Bay of Bengal and enough data to learn a model, can we use certain techniques to predict some kind of anomalies in another area, which is Arabian Sea, where we don't have that kind of data which is available?
Hello.
Could you hear my question though?
No, actually, I lost the connection. Hello.
Okay. So what I was saying was that suppose we have enough data in Bay of Bengal and we do not have sufficient data in Arabian Sea, is it possible to learn the models from Bay of Bengal and apply it over Arabian Sea to predict them?
No. The problem with the movement data is it is based on the area. So in the area of operation, you have to, for each area, we have to extract the data. So that problem is there. So right now what we are doing, we are trying to, because in the EZ area, we are getting enough data. So in the EZ area, first we are trying to learn all the movement patterns. And once we are able to fine tune our models for the EEZ, Indian EEZ area, then we will further extend to the Indian Ocean region. But again, the issue is there where as you go in the deep sea area, the density of your data is less. But yeah, over time, if you can get some years of data, like 5 years of data and more than that, then that density problem also can be handled. So what we are doing is we are already storing our data, because in the Trigun system nowadays we are getting every day around 15 lakh updates. So last 3 years we are storing all that data, and now we are having sufficient data so that our data density related issues are more or less handled. So with this high density data, the large data set, now we are trying to develop a model. So you see the thing is, in machine learning, if you have large amount of data, then the issues related with the quality of data also can be tackled, because you are having a large density of data. Your density of data is good. With the quantity of data, the quality issue also can be handled. So that we are trying to do while building our models.
Yes. So incidentally, I have been working on this area of research for about 2 years. So I think one of the challenging situation is that when we have dense data available and we try to extract sources, the learning from there and try to put it over this sparse data set, and that will be a good research thing. So let me now formally thank Dr. Himanshu Kumar Swami for having joined us today and sharing his experience. I would like to request the speaker to kindly accept a token of appreciation from us. And we'll be sending it across.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I know.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with our user community, because you see, whatever we are doing, actually, we want to see how we are going to use it. So these are all futuristic technologies. So we are really excited to work on this these kind of systems. And we want to make sure that using these systems, your life will be easy.
Thank you, sir. We will definitely be getting in touch with you for future collaboration. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.